Okay, today, hallelujah, we're not moving in fear. There was a song we sang in worship, when the clouds are rolling in. We're going to trust in God, right? We're going to trust in God. So today, I got something I've been working on here for a while, because I've been trying to make sure that this is in my life. Whenever I talk about something or preach on something or give a sermon, I get tested or challenged on what I'm preaching. How's that? All right. So let's look at the first one here. This is what we're going to talk about today, but I got some things I want to cover first. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's from Nehemiah 8:10. B. I put B there because that the first part of the verse is Nehemiah telling all the people, hey, we're going to celebrate. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the last part of that verse. So it's 8:10B. But the celebration will be a part of that. It'll be a day or a time of celebration. And that is part of our culture. We celebrate. It's one of the seven spheres of our culture is celebration. What are we doing in our celebration? So, and Nehemiah is referring to that. We're going to celebrate, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. All right, but before I go into that, I've got a couple things I want to share with you. Let's go to the next one there. All right, there's someone I met on my way back in June, way back to the United States. So this is the Hong Kong airport. And you know, they tell you when you go to the airport, they say, oh, you got to be there 3 hours early. So I always am. I'm always there early, but the desks were not even open to check in. So I'm just standing there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's nobody there. There's nobody behind the counters to check anybody in. And there was two people sitting there waiting also. So this lady walked up to me, and it was obvious. She's going to preach the gospel to me. And so I just let her talk a little bit. And then finally the conversation came up. Well, what do you do? And I said, I travel around Asia and tell people about Jesus. And the lady was excited. She said, look what I got in my bag. Look what I got in my bag. And she pulled it out. She got the Chinese Bible. And she was actually, I think, born in China. She lives in the USA now. And so we just chatted a bit before the counters opened up. And she said, I think God can use me because I speak Chinese and English. I think God can use me. I said, yeah, sure. She said, I love to tell people about Jesus. And then she showed me her tracts that she had, all different tracts in Chinese and English. And she was doing it, just going person to person. So we prayed a little bit there and just had a few laughs, and then went over to stand in line. You know, when you stand in line, even before the desk opens, they have the ropes. You know, you have to stand in this line to guide you up. It's like, you know, going through the sail barn, right? Yeah, going through the sail barn before you get up to the desk. And so we're standing there. And if everybody, because everybody waiting in line behind us is in these ropes, they can't get away. So we had a captive audience. And they are going to lose their place in line. So she and I just started moving through the line sharing the gospel. We kept our place with our suitcases. But we just started talking to people about Jesus. A couple of people quickly, I said, oh, we need to pray for this person. So we would pray for this person. And then we'd share truth with many others. And so it was kind of fun. And then the ladies came to check it, to run the desk, so we got checked in. I got checked in, and we're riding the same airline, but I wasn't sure if we were going to the same place. So I was heading to Japan. And so we got all checked in, and I went through immigration, and then she went through immigration. And I ended up at the gate a little bit early. And so I'm standing at the gate, and here she comes. We're on the same plane. So she says, oh, listen, we need to pray for all the people sitting here, and then we'll start talking to them. I said, that's a good idea. So we started praying for all the people sitting there at the gate, waiting to get on the same plane as us. And so we prayed a bit, and I was praying in the Spirit. And she looked up at me and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just praying in the Spirit. And she said, oh, I want that. I've heard about that. I said, well, I can help you right now if you want. Yes, yes. So we're standing there at the gate in front of all the people who are waiting to get on this plane. And so I prayed for her for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the release of her prayer language. Boom, boom. She started speaking in other tongues right there in the airport. And then we laughed, okay? Then we laughed. So we started laughing a bit, and then we shared with a few people, and she was just on fire. And I said, she said, you know, I need to temper this a bit because I just go right to the point. I said, well, yeah, you can ask a few questions and make some conversation before you just go right to sharing the gospel, find out what people do. And so she started to do that. She said, I want to be more like you. And I said, I want to be more like you. I said, but we make a pretty good team here in the airport, don't we? And I'll tell you, we just had a blast for a few hours. And when we got on the plane, the people that we had been talking to were there. And so we got to talk to them again. And the person sitting next to her decided to follow Jesus. Okay, I guess that 4 or 5 hour flight there. So it was kind of exciting, kind of a divine appointment and lots of fun. One of the people that we had shared in the line before we checked in was just sitting 2 seats away from me, so I could keep talking to her during that time too, that lady. And so we had a few laughs. And then when we met, we were changing planes in Tokyo, and then we went to different planes. So we did meet another guy that was a believer. And so we had a factory in China, and we sat around and we prayed and blessed each other, and then went our own ways to our next flight. But that was a fun, maybe, interruption of my time, okay, and sharing the gospel. It, you know, Jesus, when he sent his people out, he sent them out 2 by 2, right? There is power in 2 by 2 or 2 or 3 by 3. When you go, there's power, more power in that. I do a lot of sharing by myself, but that day was a lot of fun with somebody right next to you where you could bounce off each other, pray for one person when they're sharing, and then when I was sharing, she would be praying for me. So we had a lot of fun that day. Okay, let's go on then. This is a review from a few weeks ago where it says Hebrews 10:36. That's what I was preaching on, one of the things I was preaching on that day, endurance, keeping endurance. And endurance means cheerful patience. Okay, Hebrews 10:16, you need the strength of endurance or cheerful patience to reveal, to reveal the poetry of God's will. Is that good? This is the Passion Translation. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you receive the promise in full. I got that down in this version, and so somebody, I went out sitting at a table at a picnic, and I sat down at this table, and somebody said at the end of the table, hey, Joe, what's the word for today? And I said, you need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you'll receive the promise in full. They said, where'd you get that? I said, Hebrews 10:36, the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation. Say it again. And so we kept on going over this verse. And other people on at the table started asking questions. And I thought, this is good. It was a lot of fun to just share that. But they really like to reveal the poetry of God's will. The poetry of God's will. God's will, like a poem for us. Hebrews 10:36. So that's a review. Next, cheerful patience and patient endurance is how endurance is translated in most translations. And it means cheerful patience. Endurance means cheerful patience. Okay, next. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is Old Testament do we believe the Old Testament? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, we believe the Old Testament. Okay, so this is a different word. It's a Hebrew word for strength. And this was fascinating to me, the word strength. The word strength means fortress. It means fortress, like you saw on the clip. A big fortress, except it's good. A good fortress, right? The joy of the Lord is my fortress. Nehemiah 8:10b. The joy of the Lord is my fortress. So this is using your right brain. The joy of the Lord is a place. It's a place. The joy of the Lord is a place. As well as other things, because there's many applications. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's my fortress. It's a place. Okay, go on here. This is James 1:2. I was talking to somebody on texting back and forth, and they gave me this verse a couple weeks ago. It was Ron. Okay? Hey, we're trying to live James 1 and 2, chapter 1, verse 2. We're trying to live it. It's tough. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. But count it all joy. I'm going to look at another version of this, which I found the next one. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. How in the world can that be? You're experiencing joy when you're facing nothing but difficulties, because you count it joy, and the joy of the Lord is a place that we can go. It's a fortress for us. It's a fortress. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a fortress for us. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. There's great joy if we'll go there to the place of the joy of the Lord. We used to have a thing. We used to have quite a bit of trouble. Quite a bit of trouble on the field, particularly on our base, and in with working with 50, 60 people on the base or more. And all of a sudden, things would start going, being difficult. And when we had troubles, we used to have a saying in the office. Say, man, things are just falling apart. We are facing nothing but difficulties here. And everybody would ask me, they say, what should we do? What should we do? I said, well, we got a couple of things here we could do. Number one, I could run in circles, waving my arms and screaming, we're all going to die, we're all going to die. It's true, but maybe not today, all right? Or, that's one option. The other option is, we can trust in God. What is he trying to show us? How will he bring us out of this? Rather than running in circles, waving our arms, screaming, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. That's the worst part. All right. Let's look at the other side. We've got the other option. Let's put our hope in God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our fortress. The joy of the Lord is putting your trust in God. It's not an emotion. It's putting your trust in God to see that he will bring you through the difficulties that you're having. Because many times on the field, we would always be facing nothing but difficulties. And if we could get our staff and all of our people to look at it, hey, this is an opportunity to experience the greatest joy that we can. We're not going to be running in circles, screaming, waving our arms, yelling, we're all going to die, we're all going to die. But let's put our trust in God. Let's move in the joy of the Lord, which is putting your trust in God. It's a hope thing. It's a hope. Because there, as we look at the future, there is hope. There's hope. okay, if we move in the joy of the Lord. Okay, we're going to experience the greatest joy that we can. When things look bad, when we're experiencing or facing nothing but difficulties, right? Okay, the next one says, this is Jesus speaking, so this could be red letters. It is red letters in most of your Bibles, probably. John 15:11 says, Jesus is saying, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Isn't that interesting? We got his joy and my joy combined together. That's going to be a lot of joy. It's going to be a lot of joy. If we got his joy and my joy combined, there's going to be a lot there. He says, these things I've spoken to you. This is the importance of our quiet time. Our time with Jesus is when, well, one of the times, our time with Jesus is one of the times that he speaks to us. And his speaking to us is so that his joy would remain in us and our joy would be full. Got it? So we want to hear him speak. We want to protect. I was just talking to somebody in town the other day, and I said, we need to protect our quiet times. We need to protect our times with Jesus. We need to protect our, some of the young people call them devos. We've got to protect our devos, which is devotions, right? We need to protect our devotion time with Jesus so that he can speak to us, so that his joy will remain in us, and that our joy would be made full. All right, let's look at another one. Oh, that's another version. Another version of that same verse, John 15:11. Jesus says, my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Okay, that's good. Same thing, another version. Okay, purpose. He has a purpose in speaking to us. He has a purpose in telling us things and communicating with us so that the joy that he experiences will fill our hearts with overflowing gladness. All right? His joy plus our joy. An example in the Bible, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here, is Paul and Silas. And this is from the Acts chapter 16. They had just seen great things happen in Philippi, okay? Right, yeah, because they came to Philippi and met Lydia. They saw a whole bunch of people come to Jesus and commit to meet and pray. And then they get arrested after they see some power evangelism. You know, they're casting out demons. And this is what happened. They're falsely accused and arrested. They're beaten in public. They're bloody and humiliated. They're thrown in prison. They're chained and they're bound. Okay? Not a good situation. Not a good situation. These are just some of the things right before 1625. But Paul and Silas knew about the place of the joy of in the joy of the Lord. They knew the place of the joy of the Lord. And this is what it says in 1625. Paul and Silas, undaunted, and I don't know if I could be undaunted if I'd been falsely accused and arrested, beaten in public, bloody and humiliated, thrown in prison, chained and bound. I don't know if I would be undaunted at that time. That's a tough one. But here's what they did. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night, and they sang songs of praise to God. They knew the place of the joy of the Lord. They knew the joy of the Lord. They were worshiping God after all of this. They were moving in the joy of the Lord after all of this. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. Okay? It doesn't depend on the difficulties around us. If we're only facing every difficulty, if we're only facing difficulties, it doesn't depend on that. It's a place. It's a hope. right? Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night, sang songs of praise to God after all of this. They knew the place of the joy of the Lord. Okay, go on. Acts 13:52. This is for you and me. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay, we can be filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Like the Chinese lady I met on the plane, or at the airport and then on the plane. She just got on fire after she received the power of the Holy Spirit. Just went person to person throughout the whole waiting area. And then on the plane too, I saw her several times working up and down the aisle telling people about Jesus. She got the power of God. She got the joy of the Lord. That's Acts 13:52. Okay, next one. Acts 20:24. This is Paul's response to all the things that he'd been through. He said, all of these things, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Isn't that interesting? Joy shows up there. He wants to finish his course with joy. And the ministry, which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So he knew, he understood, he lived in this, the joy of the Lord. Okay, that's Acts 20:24. None of these things move me. Romans 14:17 tells us something about the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not an emotion, it's a place. It's a hope. It's trusting in God. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. That means right standing with God. And it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Okay, next one. Hebrews 12:2. Our greatest example. All right. Our greatest example. So we talked about Paul there a little bit. Now this is Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, he went through the cross, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. The joy was not necessarily sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, but the joy was, if he did this, if he endured the cross, he made a way for each of us to come into relationship with him. He made a way for us to have relationship with God because he endured the cross. And he knew that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He goes through the cross so that the joy that's before him is relationship with each of us. Relationship with every person on the planet because he endured the cross. He went through that for the joy that was set before him. All right? Next one, prayer and action. So we've talked today about the joy of the Lord is a place. It's our fortress. Be there. You and I can be there. The joy of the Lord is trusting God for future. So the joy of the Lord is our hope. It's our hope. Hope has to deal with the future. All right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our fortress. The joy of the Lord is our hope. The joy of the Lord should be our lives, where we live in that, the joy of the Lord. So I thought today, doesn't depend on our circumstances. It's not necessarily an emotion, although our emotions are affected by the joy of the Lord, the place we can go. So I felt like today the Lord wanted to increase our understanding. It's a revelation, an impartation of the joy of the Lord. And it's also more joy in our lives. More joy. More of the joy of the Lord in our lives, which is trusting Him, the hope for the future, which is the place, the fortress, the protection. Doesn't depend on the circumstances. We can walk in that joy of the Lord. So that's the prayer and the action. So the prayer is the impartation of what God has for us, the more of the joy of the Lord. So are you ready? I don't know if you want more of the joy of the Lord or not, but okay, yeah, I'm hearing an amen. That's right. If God is for us and with us, we will have joy. If we know and understand that, if we believe that God is with us and for us, the joy of the Lord will be greater in our lives. All right, so here we go for a little impartation. You ready? You can stand up. Yeah, great. Stand up. Put your arms out like this and receive this impartation. Lord, thank you. Sometimes we are facing many difficulties. Sometimes we're facing different challenges. And Lord, we need to stand on the joy of the Lord, the place, the fortress where there is protection. So God, we ask for a new understanding of the joy of the Lord. We ask for a new revelation of the joy of the Lord. We ask for an impartation of the joy of the Lord in our lives. A new, fresh impartation of your joy in our lives. God, we thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father. I just see a glass of water, and then being filled with a pitcher of water to overflowing. I think it's something that God is doing. He's filling us to overflowing with the joy of the Lord, a new revelation, a new understanding of hope, a new standing in His joy, a new release of our own joy and an impartation of His joy. A double joy thing here, a double joy coming. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we recognize our desperate need for you. Thank you for your greatness and your goodness, and you're continually speaking to us so that your joy can come to us and our joy will be multiplied. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to, you know, there's several benedictions in the Bible. Several benedictions in the Bible all the way through, but we'll use the one from Numbers. I'm just going to bless you. This is a benediction, is a blessing, all right? So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.